Pastor Dunka Joseph Gamwok is the senior pastor of Covenant Word Christian Center International, a vibrant and growing church in the city of Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria. He also oversees Covenant Word Ministries International. Pastor Dunka has known the touch of Christ upon his life from his early youth, having consciously committed his heart to Christ in 1982. He has since been involved in some form of ministry from his days in secondary school through the university. For almost 7 years, he served as an associate pastor at Glorious Praise Chapel until May of 2002, when the Lord called him to start his own work. After almost 2 years of preparation, Covenant Word Christian Center International was born in 2004 with a mandate to reap the harvest of the earth by teaching, preaching, and demonstrating the reality of the Christian's redemption in Christ, ultimately establishing lives in the Word of God. Since the year 2006, Pastor Dunka has remained consistent in reaching thousands of homes and people of various cultures, tribes, and tongues on the plateau and neighboring states through Covenant Word Radio Seminar, now known as the Unlimited Life Radio, the Unlimited Life Telecast, and the Healing School on television. He also has a weekly column in the Sunday Standard newspaper and an article in today's Challenge magazine, which has an international spread in Africa and overseas. Pastor Dunka Gamwok is happily married to his sweetheart, Elizabeth Gamwok, who is also an associate pastor and the church administrator of Covenant Word Christian Center International. They are blessed with 4 beautiful daughters, Kristen, Deborah, Crystal, and Carissa. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, with the love of Jesus in your hearts, please make welcome the host of the Days of Glory Conference,
Amen.
Our pastor,
Hallelujah.
Dunka Joseph Gamwok.
Well, glory, 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 glory. Wow. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Days of Glory Conference 2023. My. I said, my. The clouds are full. It's raining upon us in Jesus' name. Our lives are changed already. I want you to understand that this conference is not just a conference. It's an appointment. It's a prophetic feast. I said it's a feast. All things are already ready. We're doing this not as a result of religious right or duty, but we're doing this by divine appointment. And I tell you the truth, things are already happening, and things will happen in your lives, in all of our lives, this 1 week that we'll remember forever. I really believe it. Can you just lift up your hand and thank the Lord again for the gift of life? Thank Him for your life. Thank Him for the privilege and honor to be alive today. Thank Him for the privilege and honor to be part of this conference today. Father, we thank You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we honor You. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege and honor to be alive this morning, to be alive in Christ, and to have a sense of what You're doing, of Your plan and purpose, and a sense of what You're doing upon the earth. Father, we thank You. We receive Days of Glory Conference 2023 as Your purpose and Your plan, and we receive it as supernatural success. Right from this first session, we receive this conference as supernatural success. The lines are falling upon us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. Thank You because questions are being answered. This prophetic mountain, questions are being answered. Doubts are being dissolved. Long-standing issues and concerns are finding resolution. Thank You because lost years are restored here. Thank You because lost grounds are recovered. Thank You because Your people are moving upwards and forwards. Prophetic parables of life are being interpreted. Thank You, Heavenly Father, because crooked paths are being made straight. Thank You because there is an interpretation of life's parables. And I want to thank You, Heavenly Father, because pathways of life are being unveiled. I thank You, Lord God, because many after this conference will begin to discover that they've entered the 10 times more anointing. Some others will discover that they've entered the 100 times more anointing. And some others will discover that their lives are becoming 1,000 times more. And all this, for all this, we vow to give You the glory and honor and praise. We'll be content to receive the blessing. We thank You for it in Jesus' precious name. Well, somebody give the Lord a shout of praise one more time this morning. Oh, glory to God. Can you extend a warm welcome to somebody if you're close enough? You don't have to travel too far if you're close enough. Say, welcome to Days of Glory Conference 2023. Ever increasing glory. Ever increasing glory. Say, your life will bear the identity of this conference. in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more time, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Please be seated in God's holy presence. Well, good morning, everyone. So excited to have everybody here this morning. Praise the Lord. So excited for what God has already started doing. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, thank you. I receive utterance in the Spirit. I receive utterance in the Spirit, Lord. I see precision in the Spirit. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my plan, but yours be executed. Thank you, Lord, for choice words. Thank you, Lord, because I don't come to your people this morning with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of your Spirit and of the power of God, that the faith of your people may not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. I yield myself as a tool and vessel in your hands, dear Father. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. Let it be all of you and none of me. And as the word of God is declared in simplicity, let men enter the inheritance. That's what you told me this year, that as I share your word in simplicity, and as the word of God is shared from this pulpit by all the servants of God that will grace this pulpit in-house, members, pastors in the house, and others that you will send to us from time to time. You said that this year your people shall enter the inheritance. So we trust you. Palahoya, we trust you. Alekisa, we trust you. 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 Palakokiaba. Thank you, Lord. Doors are being unlocked. Chains are being broken. Somebody after this morning session, not just my session, Ramoni Ministry also in the second session, you will just find an answer to a question you've been asking. Somebody is going to walk through a door. After this first morning session, there's going to be a demonstration. Not just this, I'm talking about after the morning session, not just my session. Somebody's going to walk into a door of provision. Now, listen. In this conference this year, you're going to have instructions. There are going to be instructions and there are going to be impartations. Now, these are words that we don't take lightly. Instruction is the foundation upon which God operates. In John chapter 2, verse 5, that was our Lord Jesus Christ's first public miracle. And the key to that miracle was instruction. We know the story, most of us, that when Jesus was at that feast, at that marriage feast, and they ran out of wine, Jesus' mother came to him and she said, she came to the servants, and she came to Jesus, and obviously she must have come to Jesus because she knew something about it. Now, that was Jesus' first public miracle. Jesus was doing supernatural things that attested to his divinity because, you know, his mother, Mary, knew, and his father, his stepfather, foster father, knew that this was the divine Son of God. They knew that by revelation. They knew that they were being entrusted with divinity. But in John chapter 2, that was his first public miracle. That means he must have been doing things to demonstrate, and they must have been seeing supernatural activity around him. If not, why did his mother approach him? Why did Mary approach him? Because she knew that he had the capacity to do something about that. If not, where were they going to get wine? This was a preparation for a feast. The wine had finished. Where were they going to get it? But she went because she knew that when Jesus was present, glory to God forevermore, supernatural things happen. So this morning, I said from this morning and in days of glory conference, wherever your wine finished, it will be replenished. Something will come upon you starting from these first sessions and supernatural provision will be manifested. Listen, something that has dried up will become moist again. It will become moist. See, your life will become moist. Your life will become moist. It's a prophetic feast. And we have received it as a success. So as I'm talking, some of you, your financial inheritance is given to you. Some of you, your health will just be resolved. Some of you, something that was stuck will be unstuck. Some of you, something that was unlocked will be unlocked. Some of you, something that was difficult will start becoming easy. Your eyes are open to see. Your ears are open to hear. Your heart is open to understand. Listen, there shall be nothing called impossible to you anymore. There shall be nothing called incurable to you anymore. Because this is a prophetic feast. This is not Covenant Word Christian Center International. This is Days of Glory Conference. There's a download for this conference. And from this first session, in the name of Jesus Christ, there are workings of miracles. I said there are workings of miracles. I said there are workings of miracles. I said they're working some miracles. Under this corporate anointing, your life will work. Your life will work. Your life will work. Your life will begin to work better than it has ever worked before. Listen, anything that has not worked in your life will begin to work right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever was working will work better in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare that the season of your tears, anguish, are over in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it's over in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's working. Lord, it's working. Thank you. It's working. It's working. Your life is working. Your life is working like it's supposed to work. Anywhere where your feet have been out of the way in God's plan, they're brought back in the name of Jesus. This 1 week shall be to you like 10 years. God will go back into your past. He will rectify the mistakes of the past. He will restore your lost years. And then he will compress it. And then move you into the future. Many of us, after this conference, we will enter 10 times more. God will move you years into your future. Oh, I keep hearing this. Financial provision. Financial provision. Financial provision for the next level. God is sponsoring that picture in your heart. I said, God is sponsoring that picture in your heart. I said, he's sponsoring that picture in your heart. He's sponsoring that picture in your heart. And there's some things in life that money and material things cannot answer to, but life demands. Hey, receive grace this morning. Receive grace this morning. Your life is functioning. Your ministry is functioning. Your life is moving forward. Your body is accommodating whatever it needs to accommodate in the name of Jesus Christ. Your body is responding to divine health in Jesus' name. All those migraines, they're over in the name of Jesus. All those migraines, they're over in the name of the Lord Jesus. All those migraines are over in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those parts of your body that are not functioning well, as the word of the Lord is coming forth this morning, they're aligning in the name of Jesus Christ. Your body is functioning with the normalcy that Christ created to function. Liver functions are perfected. Liver functions are perfected. Kidney functions are perfected. Heart functions are perfected. Are perfected. The Lord shall perfect all that concerns you. It's a prophetic feast. It's a prophetic feast. Listen, we're doing this thing by divine appointment. We're doing this thing by the determined counsel of heaven. God is here. Angels are here. The angels of Days of Glory Conference 2023 are here. It's a prophetic feast. And he said, come, all things are ready. In this place, nothing shall be called incurable. In this place, nothing shall be called impossible. All things are ready. All things are ready. My brother, my sister, wherever the wine finished in your life, wine is not just for romance. It's not just for marriage relationships. But wherever the wine finished, the wine is your ability to access the next level. Wherever the wine finished, you're receiving a recharge of wine. A new wine. And it shall be said of you that when you taste this wine, you say, why is it that you left the best wine for now? Because that's God. That's God. The path of a just man is as a shining light. It shines more and more to the perfect day. And I want to tell you the truth. Don't listen to no devil. Your best opportunities are not the ones you squandered. Your best opportunities are not the ones you left. His mercies are new every morning. God is the process of making new things. Somebody is sitting there saying, oh God, if I only made something of that opportunity. But let me tell you, another one has come. Not is coming. Not is coming. Another one has come, and this one that has come is bigger, is better than anything that you ever lost before. Make no mistake, in the realm of the supernatural, you cannot be stranded. You cannot be stranded. In the realm of the supernatural, there is no better yesterday. There is no better yesterday. So as you drink this new wine, you will look back at what God did yesterday and say, thank God. But you say, of a truth, God's word is true. He has reserved the best for now. Receive a recharge of wine. Wherever your wine is finished, receive a recharge of wine. Receive a recharge of wine. Wherever your wine has finished, receive a recharge of wine. Wine is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Receive a recharge of wine for your finances, for your health, for your ministry, for your life. After Days of Glory, in fact, before it ends, you have a new excitement for life. Life, you start desiring more of life. You start understanding that life is to be lived fully. Receive a recharge of wine. Let the wine be recharged. Let the wine be recharged. Let the wine be recharged. No, it's criminal. You will not go through Days of Glory and be at the same level of finance. You will not go through Days of Glory and be at the same level of expectation. You will not go through Days of Glory and be at the same level of life. No, everything around you is being moistened. Things that are dry, they are receiving a moistening by the Holy Ghost. A moistening by the Holy Ghost. For I'll pour water upon the soul that is thirsty. Floods upon the dry ground. And I'll send my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring up as the grass in the field and as the willows by the watercourses. Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 32. He said, except the Spirit be poured out from on high, the wilderness shall not be counted for a forest, and the forest shall not be counted for a fruitful field. So when that anointing lands, what was called a wilderness, a waste ground, it will become a forest. And the forest is in good shape. At least it's a forest. Something was working. But when the anointing comes, what was working will work like that never worked before. So the improvements for your life. Lift up your hands to heaven. Mahoka sekite. Mantro siklefeti yolokusta prafa halia mastuta yekipa imo ekato sambra telekiata. It's a prophetic feast. My assignment this morning is just to help you understand what you are being beckoned, welcomed into. It's a prophetic feast. I wish the whole world were here. But I tell you the truth, when I come to any of the sessions, my concentration is on you that are here. And those that are connected online. Thank God online they can watch at different times of the, you know, different time zones. And thank God once it's online, all of us can watch it again and again. But I want you to understand it's a prophetic feast. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, I think it is, Jesus, the Lord Jesus was given a parable and said, the kingdom of God is like a household, a man who came and prepared a feast. He prepared a supper and he bade many to come. I know you're standing. He bade many to come. He said, go and invite them. He said, for all things are ready. All things are ready. So Days of Glory Conference is a prepared feast. Your only contribution in Days of Glory is to receive. That's your only you have no other, you have zero contribution to this but to receive. Just come and take. Just come and take. Whatever your heart desires, just come and take it. Come and take it. This feast, take it. You draw with your faith. So as you hear words, just say, Lord, that's me. And that anointing will come upon you and to be established. That's why we're spending these millions. That's why we're gathering people this week. It's not about a man. It's about the people of God. It's a prophetic feast. Some things must end forever this week in your life. The distance between the pictures God has put in your spirit and your experience of them, they have been dissolved this feast. Many people are going to leave Days of Glory Conference. You enter your first international trip. Many of you, you've been on that line before, but things have been pothole. You're going to be reintroduced. Many of you, before this conference ends, they're going to call you forth for things. Promotions that have been hung up, they'll be given to you. Childhood dreams, things that you have pictured yourself doing as a child and you have advanced in age and it seems as if it has gone, God will bring it back to you. It's a feast of recovery. It's a feast of restoration. Thank you, Lord. It's a feast. And there are angels attached to Days of Glory Conference 2023. Thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hand to heaven. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. As a glory to God, your only contribution to this feast is come and receive. He prepared a supper and he called them and said, all things are ready. All things are ready. It's all prepared. For he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thank you, Lord. All things are ready. All things are ready. What's your contribution to this feast? Just come and eat. How do we eat in the spirit? We eat by believing. Or let me put it this way, we eat by receiving. And what is receiving? There are two spiritual operations involved in receiving, believing and speaking. So as you hear words, like say, this is a word-based feast. God dispenses his blessings through words. So as words come to us, we receive them. Inside of the words that are coming are our answers. So as words come, we believe them. We declare it. Are you somebody? And the transaction is completed. So the Lord Jesus, his mother came to that feast. At that feast, she went to him because she understood that there was something about, she understood that she must have seen divine activity in his life before he was made public. Like I said earlier, why did she go to Jesus? When the wine finished at that feast, why did she go to him? Because she knew he could do something about it. Are you here, somebody? So you see, one of the divine dividends and benefits of our life in Christ is that nothing finishes. Nothing comes to an end. We have often said, yeah, when it looks like it's an end, it's simply a bend. Every challenge in your life is an opportunity for God to manifest himself. It's part of your divine inheritance. So just like wine didn't finish, he came and he recharged that wine. And what led me into that was instructions. I said, one of the things we're receiving, main things we're going to be receiving in this feast is instructions. And after she went to him, he said, woman, don't you know my time is not yet? My time to be made public is not yet. But God used her, to pull him out. Are you here, somebody? She ignored him and she went to the servants because she knew her job had been done. Mammy, the motherly anointing. She knew her job. She knew that he was going to respond. So she went to the servants and said, just don't worry. He's going to call you and tell you something. Whatever he tells you, just do it. Praise God. And he gave them the instructions. Go fetch water. Go and fill the wineskins. After that, go fetch. Go give to the governor of the feast. And as they went, and as they did it, miracles followed. I said, miracles followed. So this week, as you get instructions, don't be slothful. Act on them immediately. Act on them immediately. Praise the Lord. Another thing we're going to be receiving is impartations. Impartations. Impartations come in diverse ways. They come through spoken words. They come to other manifestations of the Holy Ghost. They come through the laying on of hands as the Spirit of God wills and as his ministers are led. Are you here, somebody? You receive impartations. All of these things are for us. Praise the Lord. And Jesus wept one time, and the Bible said as he was approaching Jerusalem, he began to weep over Jerusalem, and he wept. He said, oh, if only you knew the things that had been prepared and kept for your peace. And he wept because they didn't see it. That's why we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus, because you see, people are running around the whole world looking for things. You see, they're appointed times and places. And when God prepares feasts like this, there are people that are supposed to come and partake. And you see, the thing that people have been running around for years, even decades, can be settled in a moment when they're at the right place. But you see, when people don't have the right value system, they just say, well, it's not another days of glory. Well, we'll get the what they just behave when you're supposed to be here and connected. I never can forget a man of God by the name of Reverend Keith Moore, which I recommend to every one of us, a very solid son of the late Kenneth E. Hagin. And he was sharing one of those times that when the Lord asked him, you know, eventually to become a pastor and to start a church, and in the process of time asked him to start, you know, a marriage meeting. They call it a marriage meeting, where they teach and instruct on marriage. They do it about once every year, and I think they get 2 or 3 days to it. And he said that first year they announced it, everything. He was so excited. Was expecting. He said that the attendance was so poor. So he went before the Lord, you know, he was kind of discouraged. Said, Lord, didn't you ask me to have this conference? I mean, even our own people did not come. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, whenever I ask you to have a meeting and I provide the revelation for the meeting and the anointing for that meeting, it's because there are people have assigned to come and get blessed. He said, if they don't come, it's not on you, it's on them. And if they live their lifetime and forfeit the blessings that should have come in that meeting, say, I will not judge them unto condemnation, but I'll tell them, no, I made provision for it, but you ignored it. So we must understand God's delivery system, how God does things. Not every meeting is your meeting, but there are some meetings that are for you. And be confused about it. If you're supposed to be somewhere and you're not there, you could forfeit a cycle in your life. So this is not a just convention. No, it's a prophetic feast. And the people coming, the bride clouds, the ministers coming, are assigned with portions for us. Are you here, somebody? I don't know about you. I mean, I've expected this week. Well, let me just go ahead and say, as we're praying for this conference, there are 3 things the Lord told us about days of glory. He said, number one, the first word he said is ease. He said that this week I'm going to put a spirit of ease on my people. Ease. According to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. From the first day, he started talking to us about it. So you're going to contact ease. I mean, it's going to come upon you. And life is going to be easier than it has ever been. Deposits of God's grace. And they come by instructions and impartations. The second thing he said is release. He's going to release his people into their inheritance. Release.
So there are some things you're going to begin to walk into even before the conference ends. But certainly you start seeing greater manifestations after the conference that you could never have touched except this anointing came upon you. And the third thing he said is migration. These are the three words that he has spoken to us about this conference. Migration. And the word he put in our heart, he said, how much authority did Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt have over Israel when Israel had crossed over the Red Sea and the Red Sea had swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh and the hosts of Pharaoh? The authority of Egypt was broken and buried in that Red Sea. He said, how much authority did Egypt have over Israel when they were on the other end of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, the strength of Egypt, was buried in the Red Sea? How much authority? Zero. He said, this shall be to you as the Red Sea was to Israel and Egypt. Egypt for complete annihilation. And Israel for complete deliverance. He said, as you pass through Days of Glory Conference, on the other side of Days of Glory Conference, you will step into that zone. Praise the name of the Lord. Where you begin to experience zero authority of the devil over any area of your life. Your finances are coming out. Your life is coming out. Your destiny is coming out. So that's the implication of this prophetic feast. Days of Glory Conference 2023, the ever increasing glory. That's the implication of it. And that's what was in my heart. But as I said, this first conference for me, I'm just a John the Baptist, but this, I just want people to understand, as I have the privilege of bringing up the ministers of God, I may be saying one or two things again during the week to keep our mind in it. So this is not a struggling your way through conference. It's a feast. You're invited, you come and you dine. That is your only contribution. It's prepared. You come and eat. Are you here, somebody? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 60. I'll just say one or two things. Ever increasing glory. Verse 1. Ever increasing glory. Ever increasing glory. That's what the Lord told us about this year as a local church, but the conference is beyond the local church. The conference is actually, the Lord said, the vision for Days of Glory conference is to seed the word of God to our city, our state, our region, not central Nigeria, and the world. But the word of the Lord for this day is ever increasing glory. But the conference, let me just say, the word of the Lord for the conference, ever increasing glory. Now look at this, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Just keep me there. Keep me there, please. I know, Irene. Arise, shine, for your light is come. You know, there's a time God deals with us as a group, but there's also a time he deals with us as individuals. He's talking about you. You are the definite article here. He said, you arise, you shine, for your light is come. He said, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, you see, most of these words, some of them are adjectives, some of them are verbs. He said, arise, shine, your light is come. When you look at it, there's an arising, there's a shining, but the key to that is light. He said, your light is come. So what he's actually saying there is that when your light comes, and light is revelation, light is spiritual understanding. When your light is come, when light comes to you on any subject of life, are you here, somebody? You will arise. Please give me Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. Bible says in Zechariah 10, verse 1, ask you for the rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and send them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. That rain is talking about the anointing of God's Spirit, the supply of God's Spirit. And he said, you ask the Lord rain for the rain in the time of the latter rain. He says, so the Lord shall make bright clouds. Those bright clouds actually talk about ministers of the gospel. They are carriers of revelation. They are carriers of rain. Are you somebody? So when you ask God for the anointing and the ministry of the anointing and the supply of the Spirit, his answer typically to you will be to send you bright clouds. anointed men. That's how God answers. So God, when God's people cry out to him for help, he sends bright clouds. In the New Testament, they're called ministry gifts. When Jesus ascended on high, he led captive, and he gave gifts to men. When God gave gifts to men. The Lord Jesus gave gifts to men. What are the gifts he gave to the church? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, prophets, evangelists, pastors. Are you here, somebody? Bright clouds. So you see, we have to understand God's delivery system. It's not how we want it to work. It's how he has appointed it. You know, the challenge of some believers sometimes that they want to tell God how to do something. No, you study God to find his character, his nature, his habits. You know, he's still God, though. He's our Father, he's everything, but he's God. You're not going to tell God how to do anything. When you find out how he operates, then you cooperate with him, life becomes easy. So when you cry out to me, oh God, when you cry out to me for something, I will send you bright clouds. So look for my answer in anointed vessels. And I like how we always say that when God wants to answer your prayer, when God wants to help you, he will shorten the distance between you and the anointed. So that's just the way it works. It's just God's system. So, Ezekiel said here, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto you. Verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. So, this encounter Ezekiel had, he said, the Lord said, son of man, stand up on your feet. I want to speak to you. Listen, when God speaks to you, the power to do what he said enters you. That's why I said, this thing is a feast. You have zero contribution. Well, I won't say zero. The only contribution is to bring your ears to the feast. That's the only contribution, because hearing is the key. It's a word-based feast. You have to bring your ears. You must pay attention to it. My son, pay attention to my word. Incline thy ears unto my saying. Do not let them depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them, and what? Medicine, health to all their flesh. So he said, my son, stand on your feet. I want to speak to you. And as he spoke, the Spirit entered into me, and he spake unto me, and set me up upon my feet. If you look at the context of that, Ezekiel, when the Spirit of God, when God manifested himself to Ezekiel, I mean, man, the glory of God, when God's glory comes in intensity, man's flesh can't handle it. That's why people fall under power. Are you here, somebody? But you see, he came to him, and he understood where he was. He said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to speak words to you. These words will pick you up. Now, Ezekiel stood on his physical feet. But we're not necessarily talking now about your physical feet. There's a standing up you must stand up in life. I'm talking about a rise. You know, when people are beaten down by life, there's a way that circumstances can re-educate you if you pay attention to them. And show you that there's no way out. Show you that it's impossible. Show you that it can be done. But I say in this feast, there's no impossibility. There's nothing incurable. But how does God do this thing? Through words. So there's a way that circumstances can beat people down. And they can't lift up their head to see what God is saying. But our gracious Father in this feast, he said, when he spake unto me, he said, stand up on your feet. And then he spake unto me. As he spake unto me, his Spirit entered into me and picked me up on my feet. So that's what's going to happen to people in the financial realm. That's what's going to happen to people in the business realm. It's going to happen to people in the health realm. That as the word of God is spoken, God's Spirit enters men, picks them up on their feet. Oh, glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. When the Spirit of faith comes on you, it will dissolve unbelief. It will dissolve doubt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly you see that healing is possible. You take it in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you here, somebody? Suddenly you see that place of financial freedom is possible. You take it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens. That's God's delivery system. That's why when we bring our ears to this feast, we are focused. I say we're focused. I say many will leave this feast and enter 10 times more. Many will leave this feast, they will enter 100 times more. Many will leave this feast, they will enter 1,000 times more. Words will come upon you. The anointing will come upon you. He said, he picked me up on my feet, and I heard him that speak unto me. And you start hearing the sounds of a new dimension. I say, you hear the sounds of a new dimension. You hear the sounds of a new dimension. Glory to God. Let's go back to Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. I say, your light has come. Your light is come. I say, your light is come. God is turning on the light. He's turning on the switches. Are you here, somebody? You just discover unbelief is dissolved.
Fear is dissolved under this concentrated anointing. Are you here, somebody? In this feast, he's turning on the switches. And then in the spirit, you can lift up your head in the spirit and see what God has for you. And then you take it. Are you here, somebody? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That word glory is the Hebrew word kavod. The weight is a weight, is a heavy, is the weight of God's blessing. See, that thing will strengthen you, and then you can carry the weight of the next level. Are you here, somebody? Look at verse 2. Now, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Oh, hallelujah. His glory, just keep me there. His glory shall be seen upon thee. He said, behold, that word behold means observe, look and see. The darkness shall cover the earth. Now in teaching upon this, we see this, that word the darkness is a definite article. The darkness shall cover the earth. It's talking about a blanket of satanic activity. Cover means, you know, like, I mean, if you know how sometimes, you know, hoteliers are trained to make beds. Some of them, after they make the bed and everything, and they do the folds, then they come and they put the duvet and then they, or something, and they tuck it in very tight. If you really go to real professional hotels, sometimes I wonder, this thing is good for aesthetics, but it's not good for practicality. Because if you go to real professional hotels, you go in there before you can unlock the bed sheet. They put it in so tight. I mean, it looks so aesthetically beautiful, but it's not practical. Because ultimately, I want a comfortable sleep. So that before you pull it out, you pull it. That word cover means that everything is tight. It is watertight. The darkness is satanic activity, is wickedness. It says, shall cover the earth. He's talking about the last days. And gross darkness, the people. Gross darkness is the response of men to that, to the acts of the devil. Men can come to a place where they feel there's no way out by reason of satanic activity, say, around. But the Bible said, but. We have come into a but in Days of Glory conference. The word but is an operator. That word means that which has been said earlier is fact, but now de-emphasize it and emphasize the one that's coming after. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his kavod shall be seen upon thee. Are you here, somebody? But there's a trace to it. There's a trace to it. He's talking about that darkness. What disenfranchises that darkness? What dislodges that darkness is the light of God, is understanding, spiritual understanding. Light comes, and then there's an arising, and light is occasioned by words that come to you. It's an arising, and then there's a shining. Are you here, somebody? And the glory of the Lord begins to come. My point here is this, that there is nothing the devil is doing that cannot be reversed. And there's nothing the devil has done that cannot be reversed. No incurables here. No impossible here. You see, but you can't just sit down and have a mental exercise. You have to expose yourself to the word of God. You have to expose yourself to the light of God. And it has to be concentrated. That's why we're having Days of Glory, 22 sessions, glory to God forevermore, concentrated light. I said concentrated light. I've always given this example that when we're in elementary school, you know, little boys, very mischievous, we had this magnifying glass. Those of you that understand the magnifying glass know that you can position it towards the sun in a certain way. It will capture the rays of the sun in one way, and then on the other end, it will concentrate it into a beam. So we'll sit down there and we'll hold it. We use it to ignite fire on dry grass. We use it to burn paper. And then we moved into the realm of wickedness, and we use it to fry tadpoles and frogs. But my point is that there's something about the light that you enjoy, the sunlight you enjoy. And it's measured to us and it helps us. It provides all kinds of benefits to the earth and to humanity. But if you want to take it to the next level, especially when you have intense darkness, you can't have sparsely measured light. When you have intense satanic activity, when you have gang ups of hell, when it seems as if there are lockdowns in your life and there are intense spiritual battles, you have to respond with intense light. You can't just measure touch and go light. You have to set it. That's what we're attempting to help people in Days of Glory, to get concentrated light to come to you. Are you here, somebody? So you deal with some things once and for all. Are you here, somebody? He said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. And I say, there's an arising of the Lord upon you.
in days of glory 2023. And his glory shall be seen, evidently manifested in your life. So Days of Glory Conference is about demonstrations. It's about manifestations. Glory to the name of the Lord. It's about evidences. It's about irrefutable proof. It will be seen in your life. But look at the passage. It starts from light. You must, and that light is God's word. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119 verse 105 and verse 130. Praise the name of the Lord. As I praise the name of the Lord. As I praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's also look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. There's an answer, folks. There's a solution, folks. Yes, there is. I said, yes, there is. Look at this. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Ah, yeah. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. He's talking about the last days of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I mentioned this. If you go and if you actually go, just where our closest here is the Atlantic Ocean. From Lagos, I think you can begin to contact it. There's a level you go to in the Atlantic Ocean. Everywhere you look around, when you leave the shores far enough, everywhere you look, all you see is water. The water connects with, if you look as far as you can go, all you see is, you see, they call it the horizon. You see the firmament and you see an invisible line where it has connected with water. That's all you see, water and the firmament. And the Bible said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. This is not talking about, this is post-rapture scripture. There's a demonstration of this before the rapture of the church. As the waters cover the sea. And I said, I asked myself, I said, well, when you get into the midst of the ocean and you leave the shore, the only thing you see is water. That's all you see. But this is prophetic language because it's not right grammatically. There's nothing about the waters covering the sea. The sea is water. It's just water everywhere. What's he talking about? As the waters cover the sea. Oh, hallelujah. But if you look at it prophetically, the sea is talking about people. Oh, hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, you see the people talk. They're talking about people standing before the throne of God. And you see them, that multitude. You said that the noise of their praise is like the roar of waters. So waters are prophetically people. So when he said, as the waters cover the sea, the glory of the Lord should be covered. That means God is going to submerge this earth with his glory. Oh, hallelujah. So just like when you're in the middle of the ocean, you leave the shore, you can't see anything but water. You look around you, you will not see anything but the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. You're in for something in these last days. I said, you're in for something in these last days. He's submerging your life with a manifestation of his weighted goodness. Are you here, somebody? As the waters cover the sea. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 14. I just want to give us, what's in my heart, to give us an understanding about what Days of Glory Conference is about. Hallelujah. Because aside from this, I would just sit down and listen, because that's my own. I just want to hear. I just want to get my own portion. Isaiah 14, but look at verse 28. As the waters cover the sea. Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah 14, verse 20. Let's look at this. 24, please. Now, look at, the Lord of hosts has sworn. You know, the swearing of God is not lie. That's not swearing of God. The swearing of God is an oath. The swearing of God is God speaking words with his feet in blood. In blood sacrifice, he has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Keep it there. Listen, folks, you must understand, in this New Testament, there is a swearing of God concerning you. There are some things God has sworn about you. You know, that's not my subject now, but let me just mention it. I'm sure it will be dealt with thoroughly as we go ahead in this conference. You know that when Abraham and God visited Abraham, And he went to and he began to speak to him about the seed of Abraham spending 430 years in captivity and all of that. And the Bible says Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and he had told him, bring animals, cut it up. He had told him what to do, cut them up in whatever, and there was a stream or walkway of blood there. And the Bible says Abraham fell into a deep sleep because at some point he was trying to chase the birds away. Then he fell into a deep sleep, and God manifested himself as a furnace of fire and walked inside that blood. And he began to speak words to Abraham. Praise the Lord. Not too long after that, he demanded Abraham got Isaac, the miracle child, and he demanded Isaac. And Isaac went, and they went to that mountain to go and sacrifice Isaac. And you know the story, what happened, that God made the provision for him when he saw his obedience was fulfilled. And you know that that obedience was what compelled God to also send Jesus. It's a covenant of blood. Because the Bible said that Abraham received Isaac up in a figure. That means in Isaac's mind, he had sacrificed Isaac. But he believed God's word that because in Isaac shall your seed be. He knew that because after he had killed Isaac, slaughtered him according to how they were supposed to do sacrifice, and he was supposed to roast, burn Isaac's body there to God. He believed that after that had happened, that God will reassemble Isaac's ashes. Because he told him, it is in Isaac your seed will be. So when God saw that, because God's a covenant man, it's life for life, it's blood for blood. When he saw that he had killed and given up Isaac, then God swore. He said, this man has committed me. That was what he said. And he made up his mind that was the release that made him release Jesus to us. And we've understood that it's on the same mountain that Isaac was taken that Jesus was crucified. So when God walked in that covenant of blood, let's go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. My point is that there's a swearing of God concerning you. I believe I receive is a receiving process, but there's the confidence to receive is a swearing of God. Look at this, Hebrews 6. God doesn't swear like men swear. God's swearing is his feet in blood, and then he utters words. Not shouting. God doesn't just shout. Wallahi! I'm telling you! No. It's just his feet in blood. That's life. And then said, this is it. He's bound. Are you here, somebody? No devil can take your life. Oh. No devil will take your inheritance. Let's look at verse. Hebrews 6, are we? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Let's look at verse 13. Let me just go back. Then we'll come back to Isaiah 14. Let's look at verse 13. Hallelujah. Okay, let me start from verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Verse 15, and so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That means when an oath is made, when a swearing is made, when a strong commitment is made, is the end of all debate. Wherein God, in the same wise, God willing more abundantly, in other words, without a shadow of doubt, he wanted to make this matter without a shadow of doubt, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Oh, hallelujah. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Aya. A strong consolation. That when hell comes against us, it's too late. This thing is already done. Because you need to stand in this covenant. You need to stand in it. You need to insist in it. It's too late. This thing is already done. I'm a prosperous man. My money is here. I'm a healthy man. I'm a man that cannot be intimidated. You need to come against the darkness in this world with a strong commitment to a strong covenant.
Because life is going to come against you. It's going to test you. You answer the questions of life with a strong commitment to a strong covenant. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. I've heard many people say many things about it, and I know it can mean many things. But today I just want to say to you, somebody else can interpret it another way. But today I want to say to you, that what you look at the context of the scripture, one of those things that are immutable is the oath. What is an oath? An oath is a commitment made in blood. The integrity of the one that made the commitment is in question. Are you here, somebody? So what is an oath? When, just like when Abraham stood in blood, God came and stood in blood and made that oath to Abraham. Are you here, somebody? He said, well, I've made an oath to you. But if we're going to become blood covenant bonded, let me see your ability to fulfill your side of the oath. And he asked him for Isaac. See, when God demands anything of you, it's not for himself. It's because of something he wants to do that will wow you in the future. It's to give him grounds and access to do something for you. And when he saw that Abraham had killed Isaac indeed, because the Bible said, like I said earlier, he had received him up in a figure. That means as far as he's concerned, he had killed him and burnt him as an offering. And he will stay there and wait and say, okay, God, I've done my own. But you told me in Isaac shall my seed be. That's why when we sacrifice to God, we don't lose anything. Sacrifice is exchanging something of lesser value for something of higher value. When we give to God, we don't lose. It's all about you, Father. It's all about us. It's all about us. Are you here, somebody? So what is that oath? He stood in blood and he spoke words. Glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. So the foundation of that covenant, what you call an oath, is that there must be a sacrifice. The blood is the sacrifice. So he stood in that blood sacrifice and he spoke words. Are you somebody? So that's the oath. These are the things that cannot change. That blood sacrifice has established. Do you know that Jesus has been sacrificed for you? The sacrifice cannot be undone. Jesus' blood has been received for you. It cannot be undone. Are you here, somebody? So Jesus' blood has been shed. The man has been sacrificed for you. And God has uttered words on these two immutable things. His word and his blood sacrifice. Nothing can be denied you. Oh, hallelujah. This is what you stand on in life. So they say, you kill me, I'll kill you. Say, you're a joker. I'm standing in blood. I'm standing on this blood covenant where words have been spoken concerning me in blood. God has received Jesus' blood on your behalf. He's committed forever. Because the sacrifice cannot be undone and reversed, he's committed forever to fulfill those words. Are you here, somebody? I said, are you here, somebody? So when we talk about the promises, we're talking about a blood oath. Words spoken in blood. It's not just trivial things. So you see what's hanging over your life? That's what you stand on, and it influences your finances, influences your business, influences your health, influences your life and destiny. Are you here, somebody? Glory to God. The Bible said, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. My God. We might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. What is that hope? Is that oath now? The picture, hope, Elpis, the picture of what our future is in light of what God has spoken. My future, your future, is in those words uttered in blood. That's my future. So I'm not going to be a success, no matter what your definition of success is. That's not my own. Whatever you choose to make success to your definition. I'm not going to be. I am right now. I'm not waiting for a day. I'm a success right now. The decrees are just unfolding. Right now, I'm a success. Right now, covenant word is a success. The manifestation is just unfolding. We settle this matter right now. Are you here, somebody? Words are your life. You can't joke with this kind of thing. When you come here to be intoxicated, saturated, brainwashed, and fanaticized. Fanaticized with words. You come out here as a fanatic.
like we say in our company, with your eyes, your feet dipped in blood, your eyes just bloody, bloodshot. Are you somebody? I know God is standing in blood. The moment he made that oath concerning you, his eyes are now bloodied. God is now blood blind. When he comes to you, he's blood blind. So you man, you come to that place with blood. Don't come with your performance mentality. Come with blood. Just come to the feast and come with blood. God is blood blind concerning you. You might bring blood to the feast. Glory to God. God, because of this thing, I have it. Is no other qualification. Me, I have it. I have it. I'm receiving from your bright clouds this week. Ease has come upon me. There's a release of my inheritance to me. And I've migrated. I've left where I was before. Are you here, somebody? He said, when God more willing to show unto the heirs of his promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon this hope set before us. So the answer to that wickedness we talked about in Isaiah 60, you flee for refuge. The refuge is only one. It's this blood covenant. That's your refuge. No other refuge. No other refuge. No tricks. It's the blood covenant. It's the blood covenant. And when we come to that blood covenant, we only come with the worthiness of Jesus. It's the basis of our faith. The preparations that have been made. I was saying this on Sunday, that when somebody invites you to a feast, to a buffet, and you know it's a legitimate invitation, and you come there, all you come there is with your mouth. That's all you come to that feast for. And that's what this feast is. Your mouth here is your receiving. You come to a feast with your mouth. I've been invited to a feast. I go there with my mouth. I don't go there with my wallet. I go with my mouth. And if it's an individual that is worth his salt and integrous, are you here, somebody? You will be looking at me to see whether or not I'm just eating. There are 100 people that have invited to this feast. I bet don't eat too much. You see my size? You should know how to invite me. You see my size? God made, in the case, God made everybody. I said the first time I went to a buffet in America, I thought I was eating buffet in Nigeria. Then I understood that our buffets in Nigeria are poverty's chicken buffets. All kind of dessert. Confused. Salads, all kind. Just sitting like, yeah. The main course, all kind of steak. You see chefs sitting like this one doing sushi. I need sushi. I ain't doing no sushi, my baby. Give me one that has been fired by fire. I don't want this sushi. No nonsense sushi. Raw fish. I decrease. My mama bought me well. Different kind of sushi, pink one, this one, I don't want. Let me just keep it basic. Let me look for Talia. Let me look for, what do you call it? What's Talia now? Spaghetti or macaroni. Let me look for rice. Let me, the sauce I'll taste because they put sugar and everything there. So I look for there, and I look for fish. For this one. Praise God forevermore. After I finish that one, I do some salad. Do some fruits. Do some ice cream. Then go home and do some repenting. He invites you to a feast and his man that's worth his salt. He'll use the American good old term. All you can eat. My God. This is an all you can eat feast. You come with your ears. And you come and take. Today, all things belong to you. Reverend Amuneni belongs to us. The anointing of God on him belongs to us. It belongs to us. All the anointings are coming, they belong to us. They're part of this feast. Glory to God. And I don't know about you, I've come with my ears and I'm eating. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here, somebody? So you flee for this refuge. And the Bible says, verse 19, which hope we have, this picture that this covenant gives us is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. which entereth into that which within the veil. Let's go back to Isaiah 14. You know what an anchor is, right? If you're a mariner, you know anything about boating? You know that boats have anchors. Ships have anchors. You see these mighty ships on the sea. Some of them cannot, they have to go and stay out in the high seas. Some of them, the vessels are so massive that they can't come to Perth near the, what do you call that thing now? Yeah, the shore. What do you call that? Port. So some of them, especially the massive ones, those oil tankers, they have to stay in the high sea. Then they send barges to go and be removing the oil from them, little by little. So they have anchors. And those anchors, they release them, and the anchors go and get to the seabed, and they grab a hold of the seabed. So you see a massive anchor, and those high seas are turbulent, but you just see that boat there. It's held by something. I say it's held by something. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So no matter what comes at you, you answer it with your knowledge of the covenant. Finances, life, health, challenges, you stand. The thing may be going like this, but you have an anchor. What is that anchor? Is the hope that that blood covenant gives you. That picture, you know God has sworn some things in blood. I like to say it this way. God said, I swear that you are blessed. So you bring the swearings of God against every circumstance of your life. And then influences begin to come in this natural realm. Are you here, somebody? Now let's go back to Isaiah 14. Let me try and wind up there. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You're in days of glory. I said, you're in days of glory. Ever increasing glory. Glory to God. That means you're going to be going from dimension to dimension. You're going to be going upwards and forwards. And your feet are going to be anchored. Your feet, significant. Your faith is going to be anchored in this covenant. And then God's going to start influencing things in your life. Now look at this. Let's go back to verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. You know there's a swearing concerning your life. I said there's a swearing concerning your life, concerning God's plan for your life. You know there's a swearing concerning it. That is the thing that will bring supernatural forces to bear. It's a swearing. I said there's a swearing. See, so even though we move around as a group, we get blessed as we hear God's word, but you must take what is yours. Are you here, somebody? When the vicissitudes of life come against you, when the things of life come against you, answer it with a swearing. Answer it to what God has sworn in blood concerning you. So understand what's on the back end of this thing. So you can stand on the front end and be confident. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Let's go ahead, please. That I'll break the Assyrian, this is a type of the devil and his works, in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden shall depart from off their shoulders. Let's go ahead. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand. Just keep me there. This is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. Remember he said in Habakkuk 2:14, as surely as I live, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I hear somebody. He said, this is the purpose, our purpose upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. Glory to God forevermore. His purpose is his intention, which he has confirmed with an oath. Are you here, somebody? And his hand is his power that is released to fulfill his intention. The back end of this thing is that swearing. Is that those words spoken in blood concerning you. Are you here, somebody? That's what you bring to your money. That's what you bring to your health. That's what you bring to life. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. Glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. Verse 27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? So why is his hand stretched out? Is his hand is stretched out because of his intention. I want to call that purpose his intention, his determinate counsel. He has sworn it by an oath. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you here, somebody? And when Jesus came and died, that circuit was completed. Are you here, somebody? It's irreversible now. Jesus cannot be unkilled. He cannot undie. The thing is done already. I said it's done already. I said the feast is prepared now. So we come and stand in that oath. Are you here, somebody? And we ourselves speak words. We ourselves receive words. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing has not been reversed, so cannot be reversed. So there's some things about your life that are irreversible. These are the things that you rise up against life's challenges with. Are you here, somebody? Glory to God forevermore. Thank God our high priest has concluded it for us. Thank God. In his body, by his blood. Are you here, somebody? Glory to God. I said glory to God. My time is almost spent, so I can't go through all. I was going to try and take you through the glory of God in the Old Testament, the glory of God in the New Testament. That's okay, because what we're not able to do, I'm sure it will be done by other people. But let me just go, as I close now, I have about 8 minutes, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Man, I'm preaching myself happy this morning. Glory. I don't know if you're getting blessed or not, but I'm preaching myself up. I tell you the truth. Ah, my money is here. Glory to God. The billions are here in the name of Jesus Christ. Eh? Billions have become like millions. And millions have become like thousands. We're standing in blood in the name of Jesus. Our houses are here. Our estates are here. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life has opened like never before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The siege of hell is ended in Jesus' name. The determined counsel of the devil is canceled in the name of Jesus. Here we are standing in this blood oath. These words that God has spoken over us, they're concluded in Jesus' blood and sacrifice. It's irreversible. Are you here, somebody? Somebody say, too late, devil! Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I said, glory to God. 2 Corinthians, I beg your pardon, chapter 4. My. I said, my. Glory. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. We're standing in blood this morning. We're standing in blood this week. It's a high concentration. High concentration of words that are coming this week. Are you here, somebody? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the authority of the everything that shall be proclaimed this week is that blood sacrifice. That's the authority. Are you here, somebody? Please never forget that there are words spoken in blood concerning you. And this New Testament, that blood that God, the Lord God, has stood in, is none other but the blood of his son, the life of his son, and spoken words concerning you. So I say to you today, good things are spoken concerning you. Oh, fear not, good things are spoken concerning you. Good things are spoken concerning you. Can I say this? Can I say this? Can I say this, somebody? Life is just beginning afresh for some people today. My God. Life, God is recharging your wine. Life is beginning afresh. Sir, ma, you have lost nothing. Believe me, you have lost nothing. You have lost nothing. You're right in time, right in place, right in shape for the greatest move of God for your life. God is recharging the wine in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is like starting afresh for you. What God's going to begin to do in your life is like life is just restarting for you. With excitement, with sweetness, regardless of your age, regardless of your stage of life, these words are bringing a fresh life to you in the name of Jesus. Because these words are uttered by one who has spoken them in blood. God is blood blind. So when you come to him, don't come with your performance. Don't come with your experience. Just come with what his son has done. God is blood blind towards you. You might bring your ears to the party. You might bring that confidence in his blood. He's the sacrifice of his son. Listen, whenever you come, you see, when we pray in the name of Jesus, when we say in the name of Jesus, every time we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know what? God just sees the sacrifice of his son and he smiles at you. So God has a permanent smile on his face when you remind him of the sacrifice of his son. That's why I believe that there are no incurables this week. That's why I believe that there's no impossibility this week. As the bright clouds come with the graces and anointings of God, we are taking, we are increasing. Are you here, somebody? We are receiving, we are testifying. Remember, your only contribution to this feast is your ears. You have nothing to contribute. You can't bribe him.
God bless you, sir. Man of God, we pray that you'll be in all sessions. You love him. You can consider him and preach a conference. Let's appreciate Apostle Sunday again. My God. We love you too, sir. Please be seated. Verse 3. That's what it's all about. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. That means what we preach is this Christ, what he has done. He's God's Lamb. He's that blood sacrifice. He's the one that God stood in his blood now in this New Testament and has uttered those words. Glory to the name of the Lord. I said, glory to the name of the Lord. I said, glory to the name of the Lord. I believe, my humble opinion, that's one of the reasons why Abraham has an irreplaceable place in the faith. Why it's called Father Abraham. Because what he did captured God's attention. Apart from the fact that he left his family, a heathen, left at God's instruction, then was working to God to this point, waiting so long for his son, this promise, the child of promise came, and God said, Isaac shall your child be, and God said, give me this son, go and offer him up. God said, what, this guy trusts me to this extent? And when Abraham had killed Isaac and received him up in the figure, it was done already. So the physical act was nothing. God knew it was done. He said, what? You've committed me. Now indeed, I must send my son. And when Jesus was on Golgotha, God, I believe that one of the things that Jesus said, apart from the law of Moses is finished. The law of Moses, the law has been consummated and the law has been completed. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. But that law being completed, that is finished. Also going into the annals of paradise, the upper levels of hell. By then, Abraham and the saints of God were there. They had not yet been admitted to heaven fully because Jesus had not been raised from the dead, died and gone to hell and raised from the dead. I believe that in the upper regions of hell, Abraham heard the cry of the Son of God, it is finished. And he heard, Abraham, you gave me your son. I fulfilled my oath to you. Now I've given you my son. And he laid down his head, gave up the ghost, entered hell, and proceeded to pay for our sins. Raised from the dead on the third day. Are you here, somebody? God's Lamb. God's sacrifice. And God stood in that blood and spoke words. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. Abraham, the deal that we started when I came as a burning furnace and walked inside that covenant walk of blood, I have concluded my oath to you. Now, because of you, generations of men will eternally be admitted into my family, into the kingdom of God. Generations of men can carry this blessing. Generations of men can live in this world. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm going to say this very responsibly. I believe that before Jesus comes, we're going to be living in this world as though the devil does not exist. We'll rise in consciousness of this blood covenant to a point that it will be like the devil does not exist for believers again. Then God will be ready to come and take the church. God's not going to come and rapture the church as if he's evacuating us. Evacuation from danger zone. Satan himself will be saying, thank you, Jesus, for removing these oppressors. We preach not ourselves. You can't preach yourself. You can't preach your performance. You can't preach your own righteousness. You can't preach what you have done for the Lord. What you're doing for the Lord is a response to your understanding of his love for you. But we preach Christ the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Now look at this. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
So let me just end it here this morning to say, what is the glory of God? The glory of God, we see it here. We see it in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God is everything that Christ has done. Are you here, somebody? Look at this. Say, God who commanded the light shine out of darkness. Our answer to Isaiah 60 verse 1. He said, arise and shine, for your light is come. That light is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you look at Christ Jesus, God's Lamb, what he represents, what he has done for us, and what must happen in our life because of his sacrifice? That's where we base our faith. And the glory of God emanates from there. This glory in verse in the New Testament is the word doxa. It's everything that God is and everything that God has. Are you here, somebody? So the glory of God is domiciled, is kept in the face of Jesus Christ. Are you here, somebody? So we don't. That's why we don't preach ourselves. That's why we preach this covenant. That's why we preach what Christ has done. Are you here, somebody? And as men believe, something comes upon them. I said, something comes upon them, and God's hand is stretched out against everything and anything that will cause your life not to resemble what Christ has done. That's why I'm confident that through this conference, as the bright clouds discharge the assignment of God upon them, something will rest upon you. These three things will characterize your life: ease, release. Are you here, somebody? You will migrate. I dare say, after this conference, some people will not know what it means not to have money again. Because in this conference, God will give you the know-how, and then he'll give you the impartation. That's the wisdom and the power. God, that's what he said. He'll give you the know-how. That's the instruction, and then he'll give you the impartation. So after this conference, some of you, even in that realm, you'll grow in it. So some of you, God is going to change your understanding about some of these things. I hear somebody. And you step into a realm where you just discover that money is just following you everywhere. Now, when you settle in that, when that becomes your new normal, then the amounts will begin to increase. Okay, I heard it. I'll say that, Lord. And the accounts will begin to increase. Some of you, after this conference, you go and open dollar account, euro account, glory to God forevermore, pound account. Then you start seeing operations there. You just discover that supernaturally those accounts are funded. Opportunities will come to you. Sometimes it will just be God influencing men. Then as you get used to this supernatural activity, now God will now increase the amounts from accounts to amounts. Then you start progressing in it. So you start getting comfortable in this life. You start getting comfortable in this supernatural life. So God will give you the technique, the technology, the know-how, the skills, the instructions. And then they will come with impartations. You see, God's instructions always come with impartations. Then you just find yourself leaving this prophetic feast and you have migrated. You have migrated. Some of you, your projects are restarted. Some of you, some things that are hooked, you'll be completed. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God. Lift up your hand to heaven. This is Days of Glory Conference. Help me tell somebody, you are welcome to Days of Glory Conference. You are welcome to this prophetic feast. Now, if you need favor to be here all week, receive it. If you need somebody to give you permission, you're working somewhere, you need to be here, you want to receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it now in Jesus' name. That's what Days of Glory is. It's not another conference. It's a prophetic feast. It's an apportionment. It's a time from heaven. Are you here, somebody? Glory to God. In this place, nothing shall be incurable. Nothing shall be impossible. You're receiving impartations this week. The spirit of ease is coming upon you. The ease that's coming is going to come by spiritual know-how. Something's being released to you. I said in the beginning, the Lord told us this year that as you preach the word of God this year in the simplicity that I've given you, not just you, but others who have anointed, some are pastors in this church, others are bright clouds like our beloved brethren and ministers that are coming this week, and others as God will assign. He said, as that is happening this year, as the word of God comes forth, men will just be entering their inheritances. And I'm going to give you this last thing. Yes, God will give you instructions. But a major part of this anointing is that what is going to come to you from now, you will not go looking for it. It will find you. Also, the instructions God will give you are to position you. In other words, this conference is making you a magnet fit for your inheritance. Many things after this conference will come looking for you. All your days of helter-skelter are over forever. You're going to operate with a new precision. You'll find your place and stay in your place. You'll find the right belief system. You'll believe the right words. And God will adapt seasons for your sake and bring things, like we say in Pidgin, to your domot. I said, to your domot. Can somebody shout with me? Idokomo! Idokomo! I don't know what Ido-E means. Oh. Whatever E means for you, E don't come. Give the Lord a shout of praise, somebody. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Glory. 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 I said it earlier already. Healings are already taking place. Doors are opening. Situations that have been locked are being unlocked in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Irregularities in people's body is coming into shape. Your body is cooperating. Your organs are functioning the way they were created to function. Your body is aligning. Listen, life is beginning afresh for you. A new chapter is opening in your life. God is recharging the wine of your life. You'll have cause to say after days of glory that God has restarted my life. God has opened me up to a fresh chapter. It's like life is beginning all over again in the name of Jesus Christ. Put those hands together and give the Lord a shout of praise, somebody. Glory!